You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Lord, thank you for this great group being here today. Thank you that you've given us children to love and to raise. And I pray, Lord, that whether there are children or children of this parish, that we would see them as our own, and we would love them in the ways you have given us to love. And we pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. So I should say, next week in the Faith and Family class, we'll be raising girls, and then it'll be a mystery after that as to what we have. So we'll just have to stay tuned to The Adventurer and see what are they going to be talking about next. But I promise it'll be relevant and solid information. So this is raising teenagers. So with us this morning, why don't I just, we'll pass the mic around. We'll have you all, our participants, introduce yourselves. And then also say, tell us briefly about your kids and their personalities.
I'm laughing because my daughter is sitting in the back of the room. So let me tell you about her personality. So Paul and I have three children. Jack is 31 now. He's married. He and his wife have a little boy. Maisie is 27. 29.
And she just had a birthday.
Already, I'm the dad, okay? I know her name, I see her every so often. So, yes, Jack is 31. Let's go.
Maisie is 29, and Sally, our baby, is 27.
26. Sally is 26. I would have gotten that one right. And her husband, William, is sitting next to her. Boy, we're crushing it. One of the things I do think, and for those of y'all with kids, and this isn't an expertise as much as it is just an obvious observation, you know, three kids, same parents, same household, three very different, just three very different personalities, and not just later in life, but from the outset, three very different people. One size didn't fit all with the three kids.
I have a daughter that is a specialist in the Enneagram area, and she came home and she's like, she nailed everybody. And so as far as like their personality, Jack is going to definitely be your enthusiast. There, he is the one to be getting it going. I kind of think he takes after me. I run a little more anxious. He's kind of full steam ahead. Maisie is definitely your thinker, a little more private. Never let her see her sweat. She's very bright. And Sally is very fun-loving, energetic, very sensitive heart. And that's us. So here, we'll pass it to Andrews. Okay.
Suzanne Andrews and... we have two kids that are 30 and 29, and same thing, totally different personalities. Our daughter is definitely a firstborn, needs to do everything right, doesn't want to disappoint anybody, and our son is definitely, you know, was harder to parent, to be honest. You know, he is fun, but he was always edgy, you know, right on the edge of, am I doing everything just like I should?
Yeah, and I think Craig said it all. One size does not fit all. You have to meet the kids where they are. We're both educators as well. We taught at Mount Brook Elementary for 26 and 32 years, 34 total for her, but 32 at Mount Brook Elementary. So we've also seen a lot of kids come through. And what will be interesting today is talking about how that's kind of changed over time from when we first started teaching as well, seeing kind of those preteen years to what they have to face today, because it's very, very different. Excited.
And one fun thing, so our son, Jack, has a little boy who'll be one February 5th, and his best buddy growing up, Will, married
their daughter,
Alexandra. They live across the street from one another.
And our daughter has twin boys.
The three boys, so they have a grandparent play group.
On Monday, they're stay-at-home grandparents. together with our children, and our children all grew up together, and we all parented together all the way through home at schools, yeah.
And then our son and his wife had our first granddaughter. So we got three grandkids within 6 months last year. So we're also kind of looking forward to the future. What in the world is it going to be like for them?
Now, see, this is just fun information. When I was in college, Birmingham Southern, I coached church basketball. And I coached both Jack Smalley and Ryder Andrews as they were teenage boys. So anyway, we're grateful for the Andrews for y'all being here with us today and just sharing your experience. Okay, so just a fun quick hitter. This class is entitled Raising Teenagers. If you were to define teenager to an alien visiting Earth, how would you describe them?
Yeah, that's great. You want me to chime in?
Yeah.
You know, I guess in thinking about a teenager, part of it is thinking about myself in those teenage years. And one of the things that I remember about myself as a teen is that everything was urgent, critical for me to be able to do whatever it was, to take part in this event, to go to this event, to spend the night at someone's house. Everything was intense and magnified. And so I guess I would say, just thinking about explaining teens and thinking about teens, and again, I don't know if that's all teens, but at least for me, I mean, obviously, and we all know about the awkwardness and the transition and all the trying to figure oneself out and one's place in the world. But I just, that's what I remember particularly is just, yeah, the everything was uber intense.
Well, I think too that you have two different worlds. You have the parents' world, who we're envisioning the teenagers fitting into, which is the real world in our minds. But then there's also the teenager world, which we don't understand. So they don't understand our world. We don't understand their world. So you have a kind of a collision of ideas. And so it's trying to find that happy medium, those happy points that we can connect with that. And which I think is harder today just because the teenage world used to be more similar to what we had growing up, but now it's vastly different than what we all had growing up with social media and things of that nature. So, you know, it's trying to meld two very sometimes divergent worlds.
That's a great point.
Yeah, just want to stay on that for a minute. How are some things, you all have been educators for a long time, Paul and Craig, y'all had teenagers in the last, between 10 and 20 years ago, sort of all of y'all, how have y'all seen the world change in terms of what does teenage outlook look like? And then what are some things you might encourage parents that are walking through, maybe have teenagers or preteens now, just as it relates to social media and changing friend groups? I feel like those all things kind of sort of are in the same kind of realm of thinking.
Well, we've talked about all these questions beforehand together, and we were saying that, you know, now all their mistakes are public, and we see all their mistakes. But we are just reflecting back on our kids making mistakes, and we're saying, you know, you just have to own them. And even if they are out there for everybody to see, we're all going to make mistakes, and just teaching our kids that it's going to happen and how to be resilient and move forward. Because I think a lot of times kids nowadays try to hide their mistakes in different ways, and that can be really damaging on the inside. So that's one thing.
Yeah, and as parents, we want to hide the mistakes too. You know, we were talking last night, you know, there's always that mom that's calling you to let you know about your child's mistake. And we too had one. And
what is her name?
We love her. But there is one, and for whatever reason, you know, they're trying to protect us. I get it. You know, I want to be told. But I did have somebody give me some very wise advice very early on. You know, I'm like crawling in Jack's bedroom, looking at his, dying to look at his phone. And we're talking flip phone. We're not even talking internet. I just thought, oh my God, if I don't see what's on his phone, I mean, how good of a parent am I? Crawling on my hands and knees in the dark, Craig's in the bed. And then I realized, ding, ding, I'm going to crawl back out of here. Maybe God's got it. And then somebody gave me some great advice, and they said, don't call that mom. I thought, I knew there was something on that phone I needed to see. And somebody very wise said, what are you going to do? That's going to stir up more than you could ever know. So don't call that mom. And so that was just a mistake they made. I'm sure my kid wasn't perfect. And think of the bigger mess it would have been, whatever it was at the time. But, you know, I mean, we talked about that last night, too. It's so hard, that balance. But anyways, that was just a little tip. Yeah.
I was going to comment. Remind me of the question, Will.
Yeah, just with raising teenagers now, and you see just the ever-changing landscape of technology and social media. What are some encouragements how might you approach that if you had teenagers today? Already having raised teenagers yourself.
Sure. Well, one, for those of you who are parents of teens now, let me assure you I wouldn't do it better. I can go ahead and say that. Honestly, I mean, so much of parenting, at least for me and my experience, was as soon as I felt like I was getting the hang of it, they would change. It's just kind of like with the development. As soon as you kind of feel like, all right, I'm kind of getting the handle on what these particular moments are, what these particular challenges, what's needed. And I do feel like that's so much of life anyway. As soon as we, even as adults, we feel like you have a handle on something and you hit a new stage in your life. And so, I don't have a great answer, but one of the things I was just thinking about a little bit by way of not just parenting, but living in relationships. I mean, we talk a lot about theologically grace and law, and it's funny, as I've been doing weddings now for a long time and premarital counseling, and you know, it's funny, whenever you're in premarital counseling, I can tell you as the counselor, I always feel a certain anxiety because I'm like, I hope they don't ask my wife any questions. You know, you're talking about things and I kind of focus less on do this, and more on the gospel. And I think even coming down to technology and like, what do you allow and what do you not allow? And how do you say yes and how do you say no? And where do you, out of love, try to parent more than befriend more. I mean, you know, because there is a certain responsibility and all of that. But I think a big part in so much of my worst parenting was when I was acting out of fear and anxiety, you know, and I was being reactive. So I would say more often than not, my worst parenting was when I was being fearful, when I was being reactive. And so I guess I would say that for one thing. I mean, I think it's very important what you do, but you're not gonna crush it. You're not gonna do it perfectly as a parent. What you do is really significant. But I mean, if you're to some degree remembering that your child is as deeply in need of your grace and investment as you were and as you are, I think that's an important piece to operate from. You really are trying to operate out of a place of the grace of God and the love of God, and you're always working out of your own weakness and your own insufficiency and imperfection, and to not let that freeze or immobilize you. I don't know if all that's too theoretical, but I just, we have this treasure in 2 Corinthians 4. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We're, to some degree, as parents, we're clay pots, and our children are clay pots. We're fragile and we're imperfect, and we're always operating out of that place. But I think a place of gospel engagement. Some of my parents' best parenting of me would have failed if it had been a parenting book, but it remains with me today because there is a grace and a gospel base and a vulnerability in the way that they spoke with me honestly, and that, I mean, I can recount some of those times and tales, you know, to this day, more so than they're perfectly following the parenting manual.
You know, one of the things that stands out to me too, Susanna, we always had the phrase, no game changers. We don't want any decision y'all make to be one that really alters your life course, whether it be teenage pregnancy, whether it be drinking and having consequences from that. And so we, realizing that there's going to be mistakes, but we really kind of talked about, and we're honest with what those decisions could do to your life and the altered course that it could be. You know, I think today with social media, I think it's so, so dangerous. I think we saw it in the classroom for all those years. Once kids started getting, and I've always said, I told my kids all the time, I said, you're not, a smartphone is not a phone. It's a personal computer with a phone app. We rarely use the phone app. We use all the other stuff far more than we do that. And we're giving kids unfiltered access to that. You may think it's filtered. It is not. They can get through the school firewalls with different ways on their Chromebooks. So they're always one step ahead of you technologically.
But I do think, like, when our kids had phones and they were very different than y'all's, we were an active part with their phone. Mm-hmm. You know, where they charged it or looking at their phone and having it. And it wasn't because of punishment or anything like that. It was just, this is just kind of how we do it, because there's so many temptations out there. So I think setting that precedent and also knowing your kids' friends and having them in your house and knowing your the parents. You know, I feel like we raised our kids together because I knew that if Alexandra was with the Smalleys, they were going to parent or hold her accountable like we would, you know. And so surrounding yourself with people that are of like mind, not exactly. I mean, I would say y'all were probably more fun parents than we were. I was more of a rule person, you know. I mean, you know,
but it balances out. Right. Somehow balances out because we needed a whole lot of that.
Yeah. So let me just jump in here. If somebody, who here worries about their kids' phones? Yeah, everyone does. Okay, give us a one hitter. Help me with my kids and their phones.
Save the children. I mean, save them. Protect them from that. I know, I can't even imagine what is at their fingertips. I can't even imagine. I can't even get my arms around it because I can't even get my arms around it as an adult. But it's real. They really are kids for so long, and there's only so much we can do. But you know, you only get to be in a tight little family for only so long. There's a place for it, but is there? There's so much on that phone that is just more than the children can take on. They are kids, but they're really children. And I just think we got to save them.
So do you think, like, you're holding off on, like, phone use?
Well, and I guess, I don't know how that goes in, like, today, sure. How you can hold
I do
on.
Know people are in that movement of let's wait until, but once they have it, I mean, Bill pretty regularly looked at their search history, you know, like. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think, mm-hmm. too, that one of my epiphanies is later in my teaching was we always talk about, oh, they're just kids or there's teens. All these problems that they have are problems adults have. Mm-hmm. They're human problems. Yeah. They're not kid problems. They're not teen problems. We could find adults at this church who have the exact same problems your teenagers are having.
Oh, yeah.
With social media usage, with peer pressure, with not fitting in, you know. And so the idea is, what can we do in that small window Paula was talking about to nurture them so that when they grow up to be big humans, they have those life skills to manage the social media, to manage the changing of friendships. And that's where I think one thing that was really big with us, family dinners.
I was getting ready to say that.
Staying with the family dinners. And so you have that open communication. And it wasn't just a time to eat. It was a time to communicate. I used to love taking I coached our daughter in soccer, and the van rides to soccer practice with her and her friends were some of the best times for communication. Or also to listen. Because it's funny, they thought there was a limousine plexiglass window somehow. There was not. But, you know, having that open communication with them and realizing that I was also big on owning my mistakes that I made with them. Like, look, I'm so sorry. I came a little hot there. And when they see that you're owning mistakes, then that lets them own their mistakes a little bit easier as well.
You know, I'm really glad that you said that, Bill, because I do think rather than just saying no to things, and there's a real need and a time and place to say no to things, but giving other opportunities. I mean, so much of it is just, yeah, but instead of just saying no, engagement and activities and doing things, whether they be locally or taking trips or having experiences. I mean, to some degree, it's like, yeah, instead of just saying no, offer an alternative. But the one thing I wanted to say, too, is because this applies just as much to adults, and it's not, I mean, it's very much concerns pornography and bullying and all the, you know, all the different things. But I just think even for us as adults, and it's funny, of course, there's this particularly, you know, recently we hear about the tech people who do not let their kids have phones. It's the technology is not a neutral. It wants to shepherd us. And it wants to control us. I mean, that's the way the algorithms, whether you're an adult or a child, that's the way the algorithms are designed. And, you know, we can do the same thing as adults. You know what? I'm exhausted. Let me doom scroll. Let me tune into whatever just to kind of escape. And but I just think for us to remember that the social media, et cetera, internet, technology is not a neutral. The design is to... It is. It's to control you. It's to shepherd you. It's, you know, it's funny. It's a discipleship. They want to shape you. They want to fashion you. They want to direct you in a particular direction. They want to find out how they can absorb you and your time. So again, that's, I just think, honest conversation as well for us as adults as well. We're struggling. We're struggling with it also.
Just want to change gears just for a second. What are some, I want to ask a couple of questions that are explicitly faith-based questions. What are some prayers specifically you were praying for your kids when they were teenagers?
Give them a parachute and give me the ability to catch them where they, how low it goes. And I think that doesn't stop.
Right.
That doesn't stop. So I just think giving them, you know, there was just so many prayers, really, and I didn't really know what I was praying for. I was just like, well, help us all to survive. There was just so much.
And patience.
Patience.
Mm-hmm. Right. A lot of patience.
Mm-hmm. And to equip us and to help them. And, you know, when they don't get invited or whatever the thing is, help me to be the better option.
Right. To be there.
To be there and to be the better option. We're always an option, and still we're an option. When the world lets you down, I mean, who else do you have? You have your parents and people that really, really love you better than anybody else.
One of my prayers was always, please let Suzanne and I be a role model for them, for what a solid marriage looks like, what a positive relationship looks like, friendship.
And they've reflected on that as now they're 29 and 30. They've said that before sometimes about how, you know, I want that. That's what I want. And so, I mean, it doesn't have to be perfect because it's not, but it's
also imperfect. It is just also imperfect. It is. It's just also imperfect, and you don't know where you're going. There's no rule book. There's no formula. The reality is there is no formula. We could have done everything right. We all went to church. My husband's a priest. I mean,
that could be a minus.
And we're still seeing it through. So I, you know, we're just gonna do it with God's help, and I don't know what it looks like. I still don't know.
Yeah, one of my ongoing prayers. And I'd love to say this, it was, you know, so much longer and so much more eloquent, but Lord, help them to, it's funny,
sniff.
Just kind of chokes me up, but my prayer was, you know, Lord, help them to know you, to love you and to serve you. That was kind of my, you know, help them to know you and to love you and to love you and to serve you. That was my prayer for each of them, for all of them. I think, too, in thinking about our kids and praying for our kids, I mean, I like to avoid embarrassment. I like to avoid trial. I like to avoid hurts and hardships and, you know, all of that. But, I mean, there is a certain realization that's the human condition. I mean, your kids are going to experience it the same way that we experienced it. And there's going to be disappointments and losses and hurts, so that's going to be a part of their lives. And I, one of the things I often say as well, thinking about kids, just remember that they were they're as good, and you should expect them to be as good and as honest as you were. So I think that's important to remember. They'll be as good as you were to some degree. Why should we expect a different humanity from our kids than our own? But I mean, the reality is too that God's grace and healing and life giving often happen in those. I mean, in my own life, the growth has come most out of the hardships and the trials. And I think our praying and walking alongside our kids through those times, they're just like us, and that's often where the real, yeah, that's where God really strengthens them, and that's when God really shows up and carries them, and not be afraid to name that. And lastly, I'll say, Jack is our oldest, Sally is our youngest, and Sally now is a sixth grade science teacher at Pizzitz and a cheer coach, so she has, you know, at least 100 kids, if not more, every day that she's working with. And one of the things Jack said to me and Paula, in relation to, he's the first, and so we with him we were just freaks. He complained about that. I'm just like, birth order, pal. Just like, there it is, you know. Just like, yeah, we were crazy with you, and sorry, not sorry. But he would accuse us with Sally's, like, you know, way to underparent. You're just underparenting with her. And I started to go, so I don't know where I was going.
Jack just said something to you. I don't know.
Yeah, Jack said something to me. Yeah, I don't know.
A lot.
I don't know. Yeah, a lot to me. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, exactly. When Jack's our first, he went off to college first, obviously, and I can remember, you know, there's that year of mourning, you know, my buddy, our first to go away to school, my buddy was going away, I was just so sad about that, and then God in his grace will make your children become so annoying that you pray for them to leave, sort of as senior year sort of gets toward its conclusion. But I do remember in dropping him off, it was a significant moment. I thought, you know, now all I can do is pray for him. I mean, not that you don't have conversations and da 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 da. So just to say, not in any pie in the sky, but there is tremendous power in prayer, and I think for us as well, relationally with people in our lives, there's a lot of situations. And yeah, it's not that we're checking out or not involved, but there's some things. It's like, you know, I can pray. I can pray. I can pray. I can pray. God hears prayers. Prayer has power, and in response to so many relational limitations in life, there's a time just like I'm praying.
Yeah, just mindful of time. We have a couple more minutes. What are some ways you encourage your kids to have faith, the Christian faith that's their own, to encourage coming to church without it feeling burdensome?
We're members at Trinity United Methodist. But our kids were involved in youth group and went to mission trips in the summer, played church league basketball, those types of things. And it wasn't because we required it of them. It was just our expectation. You know, we're going to be involved. We're going to do those things. And it was fun. And their friends did it too. And we encouraged them to make friends with the people that are doing those same things. And I think that was really pivotal in their life because that was independence. It was a way. It was things they could do that were fun and carefree and a little crazy, you know, youth group stuff. And
then when our daughter went off to college and we were just had our son at home, we tried to meet him where he was. She was all about church. She loves it. She still today is, up until just a couple years ago, was doing mentoring some Fusion young teenage groups. Whereas our son going through that process, it's really neat to see where he is now today. It's amazing. But it was more of a push out the door rather than a, hey, we're going out the door. And so we decided, hey, where can we meet him? And so we actually had a conversation and said, you know, traditional service wasn't his thing. So we started going to contemporary. So we just shifted our schedule a little bit so that he would look forward to going to church more than that. Just to piggyback real quick off one thing Craig was saying, one of the big things for me is don't always rescue your child. Let them stumble. Save the rescues for something big and meaningful, not for little things that in the grand picture aren't going to change much. They need to learn how to stumble and pick themselves back up and not always have mom and dad picking them up, or help their have their friends help them. So yeah, save the rescues for big things, not all the little things.
And because we're a priest family, I was as the mom of these three kids with the dad at the church, I'm like, oh God, is this like too much pressure? Is this like too much? I mean, like, what was the balance? And I don't know, God just handled it for us as a family because, number one, we have such a great church. But God put other people, like our community, with amazing Christian parents that weren't like so like pushy, because we were so protective of, like, we didn't want. But it also it was parents being vulnerable. Our kids saw not only us, you know, the alcoholic brother is moving in with us for a short time, and Craig's like, you know, love's going to win out in the end. And Maisie's looking at us like, seriously? I'm like, yep, I don't even know how this is going to go, but we're just doing this. And we didn't know how it worked, but it was never hiding. Like, we were very vulnerable as parents and all that came with our extended families or whatever was going on. And I kind of think, in a way, God helped our kids see Christ through us, but we didn't even know what we were doing, or through our friends. Whatever was going on in their household and how they reacted. So the vulnerability, I think, that we didn't even know we were doing, I do think that that helped show them Christ's love somehow through us and for them.
Yeah, and I think with the kids as well, just, you know, I mentioned at the outset, and Bill and Suzanne mentioned as well, our kids are all very different from one another. And to be flexible in the ways in which they're involved. You know, some are really going to be, you know, all in youth group trips, da 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 da. Some are going to be more introverted, and that's not their bag in the same way, and that's okay. Let them be acolytes. Let them help in the nursery. Let them help with Sunday school. But just like, be flexible. There's not just one way to engage in the Christian community. So I'd say, be gracious, and I'd say as well. Tara Davis, who is our director of Christian education, I was talking with her the other day, and she's stellar. She really is great. And we were just sort of chatting, like, what were you involved with in school, blah, blah, blah. And she said basically nothing. She's like, you know, I wasn't on a team, I wasn't on a club, I wasn't on a da da da. So just to say as well, if your kid's not uber plugged in, their chance for a healthy childhood is probably at least 50%.
And a shout out. Yeah. When we were in a circle of clergy many years ago, everybody's going around, oh, we did Young Life. Oh, we did our youth group at the church. Oh, we were so involved in college. Y'all, you're looking at two people. He never did a youth group. You never did in high school.
Well, way to out me. Yeah,
But I'm just saying, his parents. I'm just saying, like, his parents and the church they attended, they were low pressure, but somehow God's still working through them with different paths.
They're okay no matter what they choose. You know, like, if you're choosing, you know, youth group and you're all in, great. But if you're dabbling over here, okay, you're good too. You know, don't make them feel bad about their choices.
And having faith that God will show them the way when their time is right.
Steer them.
It may not be you guide them in the right direction, hopefully.
And they might not blossom till later or show an interest until later.
It's a great line in one of St. Paul's letters. At just the right time, we met the Lord. And that's a hope for all of us. At just the right time, we met God in a way that God had been planning for that all along and been kind of walking us through that. I will say, great plug from Tara Davis. She will be doing, we'll do an interview style class like this in this series. What if my child is doing an extracurricular activity? That'll be one of the classes we have. So we get. So I gave it away.
Leave
there it is.
They too will survive.
All right. As we're out of time, I want to hear from all four of you. What's a quick parting thought you can give to parents of teenagers? This is one thing I want you to leave with today. If you can tell us something you've already said.
Yeah, Bill. You got an idea?
Give yourself grace, give them grace, and enjoy the ride. You get them for such a small window where you can love on them and hold them. And so enjoy the ride, but know that you're both going to stumble, all parties involved, but have grace on both ends.
Surround yourself with people you can parent with. They're, know their kids, know them, and don't give up on your kids, you know? Even when you don't want,
ever
don't like what's happening, don't give up on them.
Yeah, I think my thing, I can run a little anxious, and I think you just hang on for dear life and pray. it's true.
Paul, you know, to the Romans, we have not received a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but we received the spirit of adoption, of sonship, being sons and daughters. So I would just say, and I'm a fearful guy, so, but at the same time, just engage, just engage and love them imperfectly, and just pray not to live from a place of fear, but just, yeah, just get out there and love them and engage them and pray for them and give them grace in wildly imperfect ways.
And I think we had fun with our kids.
Right,
we had fun. A lot. Enjoy your kids. Have fun.
It's also okay to say no.
Yeah.
That's right.
Say yes a lot.
And just, you know, if you get tired of this, just come over to the Smallies.
Send them over.
Let's close with prayer. Lord, thank you for Craig. Thank you for Paula. Thank you for Suzanne. Thank you for Bill. Thank you for just the ways you've spoken through them today to us. I pray for their kids, Lord, for the ways they've, and I thank you for the ways that they've raised them and just imparted this wisdom to us. And I thank you for our children, Lord, whether they're ours or other children, but they're ours, Lord. And I thank you for that. And I pray that in the ways that we raise them, we would trust you. I thank you for all the encouragement we have received today. It's all in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.